1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. We're continuing our study in the book of Revelation. But we're going to start out here. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, the day of the Lord is a day of darkness, of gloominess, a day that is mentioned many times throughout Scripture and Old Testament prophecies, that this is a time when God's wrath is going to be poured out. And it's going to happen suddenly. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. It says them. It didn't say us. He's talking to the church. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Here it is, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Now, I don't believe he's talking about going to sleep at night here. Wake or sleep means while we're here alive and remain on the earth, or whether we have passed away. Paul said to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And I believe this way, that we already are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And there's a veil of flesh that prevents us from seeing the full revelation right now. And so we look into the mirror of God's Word, and we look into the face of Jesus, and we get a glimpse, we get a foretaste of what is yet to come. As the Lord, at times, He opens the veil and begins to show us a little bit more. How many have heard it said before that we just could not contain all of God's glory at one time? We would just be smoke, I think, you know. At least not in this state. But that Spirit in you, that new man created in Christ Jesus, that new heart is able to be there because of the righteousness of God given to you in Christ Jesus. You're only righteous because Christ is your righteousness in you. And we don't go by our own righteousness, we go by His. We don't trust in our righteousness, we trust in His. We rest in His righteousness. We rest in His finished work. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Now, again, I wanted to start out with that because we're going to be talking tonight in Revelation chapter 8, if you move over there, of the seven trumpets. And these trumpets are judgments. And as you will go through this book, as we're looking at this, we're seeing that each time the judgments become more severe as time goes on. And we mentioned this last week, but I believe the reason for that is God's mercy. God is allowing for those who are in this place at this time on the earth opportunity to repent. He doesn't pour out. Otherwise, He would just completely eradicate the whole thing, get it all over with, you know, done, all right? But God incrementally begins to pour out these judgments, and each time they get increasingly worse. And there are those who will be so obstinate and so stubborn and so defiant that they will curse God, and they will not repent. They will not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. But, you know, it's not God's will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is merciful, and He's so long-suffering, so patient with humanity. Aren't you glad He's been patient with you? And Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. This is the first trumpet. You know, these first four trumpets that we're going to look at remind us of the plagues in Egypt. If you'd look, remember the types of plagues that came on Egypt. These are the same types of things that are happening upon the earth during this time of rebellion. Now, God had judged Egypt in the Old Testament, and He had warned Israel not to follow in their ways and not to follow the ways of the heathen or the unbelievers around them. And yet they had gotten into idolatry, and because of that, God had to punish them as well. However, God has always had a remnant that had been faithful to Him, and He's always given a promise, amen, so that if you will repent, if you will turn to the Lord, amen, if My people called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. See, there's a promise. Even with the chastisement of the Father, it is always for the purpose of refinement. It's always for the purpose of bringing us back into right relationship with Him. It's never to condemn. God doesn't want to condemn. God wants to save. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through Me might be saved. That was the reason He came, to seek and to save that which was lost. All of us, like sheep, had gone astray. Amen? And so here we have this situation with this first trumpet, where there's this fierce storm and there's utter chaos on the earth. And it's going to have a devastating effect on plant life. And obviously this is going to affect food. Amen? Food supplies are going to be destroyed. And a third. This is a time definitely that I don't expect to be on the earth. I hope you don't either. I expect that we will be ready when the trumpet call, amen, when the trumpet sounds. And the Lord will call up His church to be with Him. Now in Revelation 8, in chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, the exact nature of this mountain isn't specified. That could be something supernatural that God does. Or it could be possibly volcanic activity. It may be some type of asteroid. But I think volcano seems to be a very possible possibility here, because it says that one-third of the sea turned to blood and the water turned red. Now, John, remember, he was not speaking in a time where he was able to go and get a sample of the water and take it under a microscope and examine it to find out if it was blood. But there are certain things that can happen in nature that will cause the water to turn red. Sometimes even a stirring up of certain mud and sediment in certain areas can give the water the appearance of being as blood. It could very well be blood. But he's, again, just what he saw, that's what he wrote. Something also in Exodus chapter 7, verse 14 happened in Egypt, where the water was turned to blood, remember, and as to one of the plagues. And it says after this, what seemed to be a mountain had been cast into the sea, that one-third of living creatures died, and one-third of the ships were destroyed. Now, one thought here is it's possibly due to tidal waves created by this enormous object, whatever it is. I thought of Mount St. Helens and how, on a smaller scale, but yet it was very devastating. I mean, if there were cities nearby, it would have been a catastrophe. How that whole side of the mountain blew off, you know? And there's, I don't know if you've ever watched in recent years, they've had some of these scientific programs about super volcanoes. that they're throughout the earth. There's one in the middle of America, around, I guess Yellowstone is one. That if they had blown up, and there seems to be scientific proof in history, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but that these things have erupted and caused devastating effects upon the earth. So if you think about this enormous possible eruption or an asteroid or something that hits the water, it's going to cause a huge, you know, tidal disruption. And so that would destroy ships. And and of course, again, now this is going to affect sea trade. You know, it would even affect, of course, seafood supply. A third of the waters, you know, had been affected by this. And so this third trumpet in Revelation 8 and verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Now, and it fell on a third of the waters, on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star was Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. And that's what wormwood means. It's the name of a very bitter herb, and it also became symbolic of idolatry in Israel, because it's bitter to God, and in the end, it is bitter to us as well. Anyone who, you know, worships any other god may for a season find enjoyment in that, but in the end it will be a bitter, amen, it will be a bitter end for them. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, we see this in verse 13, and the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the imagination of their own heart, and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them, therefore says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. Water of gall to drink. Bitterness. Wormwood. Now, I didn't realize this, but when I was a new Christian, and I've shared probably with you, I had a dream, and I'm not one to dream much, but I had a dream that was very vivid, where I'd been witnessing in different places in the earth, Beverly Hills, down in the projects, you know, different. It's like I was in just different types of areas doing ministry work. And then I found myself out on a balcony where all these round tables were, you know. Everybody was just having lunch overlooking the ocean. And all of a sudden, a orange ball appears in the sky. And everything stops. Everybody stops. But the picture I had was that it was just a regular day. Everybody was just kind of carousing and carrying on, just, you know, just having lunch. And this thing appears, and everybody just stops and gets silent. And then this, whatever it was, this star or something, it fell, and just before it hit the water, there's this boy in front of me turns around and says, "Wormwood." I woke up right after he said very clearly, he turned around, he said, like he was going to try to run, he said, "Wormwood." And well, believe it or not, Chernobyl in the Ukrainian Bible means wormwood. So it could be nuclear, it could be an asteroid that has some type of contamination, I don't know. But also, in March 21st, 1823, there was a volcanic explosion in the Aleutian Islands, and it caused the waters in that area to become bitter and unfit for human consumption through volcanic eruption, disruption. This could happen again, and I saw something about this a while back, and they were talking about how it affected everything, the weather patterns of the earth. It was a big volcano, yeah. Even today, like in Iceland and things that had happened, some of the larger ones, that it caused certain disruptions. Even in the areas where volcanoes erupt locally, the weather can completely get turn crazy. So anyways, I don't expect to be here during this time, but it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen. God put it in here so we could understand what is yet to come. The fourth trumpet in Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck. Now it's the heavens. A third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." So we're not going to go into that until next week. But you see, it's getting worse as it goes along. This sounds like some kind of unusual eclipse activity in the heavens. Whatever it is, it's certainly judgment from God that's going to strike fear in the hearts of the ungodly of this world. Because the day of His wrath has come. And, you know, when we look around at the things that are happening, the terrible things, the atrocities in this world, and you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I just feel like, God, when are you just going to come and put an end to this? It also, I think we also see in the midst of that, if we look at it from maybe a different perspective, God's great mercy, and He's so long-suffering. He's not willing that anyone should perish. And so, I think often if we had been given the position to make these judgments, we probably would have smoked a lot of nations and a lot of people like that, you know. And yet that's not God's heart. God is merciful. He's not willing that any should. God loves the world. He loves people. But He cannot save anyone who does not repent and turn to Him. So that is our message, folks. It is to declare the word of the Lord, make His path straight, a highway for our God. Amen. We are to go in the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of repentance. And God's justice demands retribution to those who hate and abuse others and disregard His right to rule over them as God and Creator. Would you say amen to that? It's God's justice. And justice is coming. That day will come. The day will come when the secrets of men's hearts will be revealed. So we don't have any secrets with God. Everything is open and bare before the one to whom we must give an account. And so I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. We're going to finish with this tonight. I think it fits with this. Chapter 3 and verse 3. And I believe that we're living in these days. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Are we hearing that today? "For this they willingly forget." It's not that they didn't know, it's they willfully forgot. "That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." And there's evidence throughout the earth today, and so many cultures around the world in different places, of a great flood. There's records of it. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." There it is again, see? God is just waiting for the harvest to come in. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, here we go, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Here again, you see that the promise is for you and I. That we're not looking for that to happen to us. We're looking for what? The new heavens and the new earth. It's clear in context here. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There'll be scoffers in the last day. And Jesus said He's coming in an hour when we think not. And there are those who have become weary even of hearing about the return of Jesus. And some have, even as I believe, as Moses went up on the mountain and he had been away from the camp for a season, that they begin to play. They begin to riot. They begin to party. And an evil party, if you will. And they begin to run amok in the absence of Moses, while Moses was up on the mountain with God. Amen? You know, I believe the same thing is true about our Lord. Our Lord has gone away. But He promised that He would come again and receive us. And while He's away, we are faced with many temptations to do the same thing. To begin to love and serve the creation rather than the Creator. And we can forget that we are betrothed to Jesus. Amen? That we are His bride. And He's gone away to prepare a place for us. We need to keep ourselves for Him. So when He comes, His bride's going to be ready. She's going to make herself beautiful. She's going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Her robes are going to be white. And the Lord's going to recognize His people. Why? Because He's going to see His righteousness upon us. Hallelujah. So encourage one another and let's do what we can to promote love. Amen? And good works. Why? Because good works are profitable. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. We're going to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That'll be there forever. We don't want to come before God empty-handed. Amen? So let's get ourselves in alignment and position for God to equip us and to bless us so we can be a blessing and be willing to go wherever He goes and be willing to speak whatever He speaks. Be willing to do whatever He is doing. And Jesus said, "This is My commandment, that you love one another." Love one another, that your joy might be full. Father God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your promise. Lord, that You have prepared a place for us. That we are Your people. We have been purchased with Your own precious blood. Lord, we want to be found in that day, not clothed in our own selves, but clothed in Your righteousness. Lord, we want to stand faultless before You. Lord, we want to have You greet us with great joy. And we want to see You smile, Lord, upon us. And so we ask You now, even now, Lord, to smile upon us. Lift up the light of Your countenance upon us, Lord. God, that You would smile on us, Lord. Be gracious to us, Lord. Give us Your peace. Lord, deliver us from deception. Deliver us from lies. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from offense. Deliver us from anything, Lord, that would hinder or anything that would come between us, God. We want to be pure in Your eyes. We want to be ready. God, I pray that You will raise us up and, Lord, use us in these last days to be instruments in Your hands to declare Your righteous reign. That the kingdom is here. Your kingdom come, we pray, and will be done on the earth. And that we may see heaven come and invade earth. And that there will be a great harvest of souls. Lord, from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. That they may come. And the day will come when you will rejoice. And you will glory in your church. Hallelujah. She has been prepared. That she will be beautiful. Without spot or blemish. Oh Jesus, help us. Help us not to look to the left or to the right, but to fix our eyes on the prize. To keep our eyes on you, Lord. Ah, Jesus, we pray for a mighty move of your Spirit this Sunday morning, Father. We pray an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, in this service. We pray in Jesus' name that you will draw men and women, boys and girls to the cross. Father, we pray that you will also open doors of opportunity. Lord, for my brothers and my sisters this week, open doors of opportunity. Lord God, that they might be able to sow in the Holy Spirit, Lord. And the day will come when we will doubtless come again, having our sheaves full rejoicing. God, we don't want to go empty-handed. We want to bear fruit. And we want that fruit to remain, Lord. Get us ready, Lord. Whatever it takes, get us ready. And use us for your glory. I believe these days are the best days. Because the fields are white unto harvest. Lord, let your power flow through your body, through your church, to reach the nations. Send us out, we will go. To the nations, we will go. Oh Jesus, Lord, take us to the world. Even out of this little place, out of this small beginning, God, I pray that, Lord, you will raise up fire starters. Raise up burning ones for you with holy passion to declare your praise, to speak forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness, who brought us into His marvelous light. Here we are, Father. We present ourselves to you and we say, here am I, Lord, send me. Get ready because He's going to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.